Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're broad bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
Hi. It's Ask Low Blows again. You're joined by, we're at home again for obvious reasons. But yeah, it's you're here with me, Rick, Katie, and Phil Boyd.
Yay!
Woo! Big dog in the house.
Right, how was everybody's week?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
We're back in lockdown.
Yeah, anything anybody wants to talk about, anything anybody wants to get off their chest. I mean, we have about a million questions that have probably, I think everything has been hit in the questions.
Yeah, but I think we're good. Like, this Clash of Champions is this week, but like, I guess we can discuss that with Retribution and stuff like that. I don't know, there's not much to say. Is anyone looking for, do you hear Roman Reigns is going to have new gear?
What?
Yeah, he's going to wrestle topless from now on. And I think, yeah. And like, so this would be a new thing that he spoke about.
I didn't mean to do such an audible gasp there. I'm sorry.
I heard he has gills on his top.
It would be amazing if, like, he just had, like, a third nipple. Like, what's it in Friends? What's the word for it?
Nubbin.
If he had a nubbin this whole time, that's why he never wrestled topless, like. Or there was something really obvious, but he was, like, selling it as really badass. But, like, we just couldn't take our eyes off. It was like, Molly, 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 Molly. It'd be hilarious, like, but yeah. That's happening. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, that's a really good storyline. I'm into that. That's the title match. What else is there? Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton. Is there anything else?
What Apollo Crews and Lashley.
That's said happening. Yes.
Said with such disdain.
I can't even remember what's happening. There's a pay per view.
Randy Orton, like.
No, I'm looking forward to that. It's just like, so that's an ambulance match, actually. That's like, has there ever been a good ambulance match? I don't get how that's a vicious match. I don't care, get how that's like, you hate someone so much, you're going to put, I get, okay, you're going to put them into an ambulance, but like, the vicious
thing. An ambulance is where they get
better. Yeah, and the vicious thing about like, the vicious thing about an ambulance is like, not the being put into it part. It's the fact that you're in it and you're that hurt to begin with, you know what I mean? But they're making a really big deal about the process of entering the ambulance. So it's like kind of, I feel it misses the point somewhat. Bayley against Nikki Cross, you have the whole Bayley turn on Sasha deal. Jeff Hardy against AJ Styles against Sami Zayn in the ladder match. That's going to be fucking good. So yeah, no, I'm into it after doing that. Yeah, that's happening. G1's on. It's pretty good. Yeah, it was on this morning. Yeah, that's about it for me. That's all taking my attention. You guys, and you're binging lately.
Did you finish Cobra Kai?
Yes, I did.
And did you?
Oh yes. Oh, I love it. But Phil, while you're here, I don't know if Katie's told you my theory. Okay.
I didn't know. Because okay. I disagree with it, I think. No, hang on. I think I agreed with your one.
I want to hear Phil's thoughts, because you're in it, okay? Cobra Kai and Irish wrestling, okay? The old Cobra Kai, and you might hate this, okay? But, like, hear me out, okay? The old Cobra Kai, NWA Ireland, okay?
Oh,
bear with me. Bear with me. You're going to like where this is going to go. You're going to like where this is going to go. Because I'm not saying Irish Whip is Miyagi or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Irish Whip is too complicated to fit into Cobra Kai. So I'm leaving that out completely, okay? The whole thing was, like, I'm looking at who the crease is in Irish wrestling. And I'm not saying it's like for like, but,
I know what you're getting at. I know you're getting Endgame. Oh, like fight for... Give me the new Cobra Kai, which is like the good version of what Cobra Kai should have been like. But no, I'm not taking NWA as being the original bad guys. No way.
You were led by a person who made you really aggressive towards the bad guys. You used to wait on street corners to cheap shop people. You're like, you're the old Cobra Kai. You are. You just can't see it.
Don't let us that way. Name names there.
Paul Tracy, it's discussed quite openly. Like, did he not tell you to have, like, was there not a thing in your gym that was called Simon that you had to punch every day? Yeah. That's proper old Cobra Kai shit. Like, I'm not saying Irish Whip are the good guys here. I'm not saying Simon Rochford is Mr. Miyagi. He's not.
We were actually told to strike first as well.
And also as well, you're like the perfect like person in that, because you would have been one of his main hitmen back in the day. You would have been one of the main people that like you would have gone to. And then you went away and you're like, no, there's a new way to do this. I'm telling you, it works. It fits.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. What about the rest of it? Have you got no the rest of it? Is that it?
No, we haven't thought that far ahead. It gets really messy.
We're on to something. Yeah, okay, all right. You sold me on it, yeah.
But you loved it, right? You loved Cobra Kai.
Yes, loved it. Amazing. Fantastic. I need more.
Anyone who watches wrestling will love Cobra Kai. Anyone, like.
Yeah. Yeah, I need more. Like, I need, like it's too short, like, because I watched it in, like, 3 days. And I'm like, this is, like, I can't live with this for, like, a year. Like, I can't live with that being all, like.
Hi, Justy.
Justy's going to want to rant about this, okay? You know what? So I will let him on.
Whatever Justy says, I agree with Justy.
Justy does not agree with this at all. Justy hates this theory.
We ain't taking your lies and manipulation from no Irish whip head, are you?
Okay, alright, Justy, I'm asking you on mute. You can come on and have a rant if you want. You don't have to, but if you want to have your say, I'm opening the floor to you now.
Justy, come on. He's on. Justy, let's lay into him hard.
What is this show? Look, it's like the two people ganging up. This is proper old school Cobra Kai behavior, I might say.
Actually, this is exactly what's happening right now. You just attacked Phil Boyd as he was trying to get over a fence. That's what happened. You've got him on your fucking podcast. He's a poor Daniel LaRusso, and you've just fucking struck first. All right? I've just jumped out of the shadows here to Mr. Miyagi him, to help him, to pop you down one. All right? Here's the deal. All right? We've already discussed this. Me and Rick have had this discussion in private times.
Yeah. We can't say all of it again.
No, we can't. We can't do it all again. But what we finally agreed on was that it just goes to show how good Cobra Kai is that it has us both arguing over who were the Cobra Kai or who were the bad guys or who were the heels or who were the faces back in the day. Obviously, IWW were the heels. Fucking Ballymun Bruiser was a prick. He bullied all of us. He shouted at us in the streets. He told me that he was going to fucking push me over on the sand one day, all over the ghetto blaster. But it was. But what's beautiful about Cobra Kai is that when you watch it, each episode, you're like, wait a minute, who am I rooting for here? Or wait, who's the good guys and who's the bad guys? And it kind of blows out that whole 1980s kind of dark versus light or good versus bad or evil versus good kind of a thing, you know? It's so nuanced and it's coming from different angles. It's not to give out too many spoilers, but when Miguel is asking, sorry, my dog is in my face. When Miguel is asking Sensei Lawrence what happened between him and LaRusso, and fucking Johnny's account of it is like, you know, he's the good guy in that account of what's happening. This guy got in my face at the beach and then he sucker punched me out of nowhere.
I love that.
That's how I'm looking back at it. I look back at the IWW stuff and the stuff with us, right? I'm like, where you're like, oh, Adam Abs came in all guns blazing on Dave Zero. And all my account of that is Adam Abs didn't have a wrestling match and Dave Zero headbutted him about 60 times before the match and then ended up puking because he took a safe kick to the back like a fucking pussy little Miyagi Do. I mean, Cobra Kai. But, But like, if you get me, like, when we look back, like, when me and Phil look back at it, me and Phil are the fucking ultimate good guys, and you're just a little piece of shit. But when you look back at it, well, hold on, when you look back at it, you're like, oh my god, those guys, they were so good, and I'm a piece of shit. I don't know what you think about that, but yeah, that's what I love about Cobra Kai.
Right, okay, that's a fair point.
Excellently said.
We can agree that there's different perspectives, but like, yeah, no. You were.
Yeah, I don't think any other TV program kind of nails the kind of ambiguities between good and evil, or you know, what's moral and what your moral compass is. Because when you look at, when you're following it, and you are following it from Johnny Lawrence's point of view, his moral compass is pointed one way, and it is pointing a completely another way by the time you get to the end of your second series there. Mm. So I think it's brilliant. It takes you on the ride, and no matter who you're rooting for in the whole thing. And I think, look, I want to just say, I hope everybody wins the karate, because it's so good. It's just, Cobra Kai is really good. And I went in with absolutely zero expectations to watch that TV program. And I was kind of like, yeah, look, I'll give it a few minutes. If it's eye-rolly, I'll just tap out and I'll get gone. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my God, I'm taking notes here. I'm going to watch it again. Yeah. I'm going to fucking start a podcast. Is there any groups on Facebook I can join where we can fucking post memes about it? It's honestly, it's one of my favorite things on TV right now.
Fantastic. No, absolutely love it.
You can mute me again now if you want.
It's up to you, yeah. If you want to mute, you can go back to mute. Like, that's a very good point.
I'm waiting on a big dirty Mazzoni's to come. So I might just tap out now in a minute. I'm really glad I came in and caught that fucking conversation.
You Miyagi'd me.
That's the one I knew. I said, if they're going to start talking about Cobra Kai, I want to be in there. And I want to be able to defend NWA from the evil IWW bastard that is sitting on the top of the fucking chain. I wasn't able to come in here last week and defend Joe Cabrera's honor. So this week I came in to Cobra Kai's honor.
Okay, yeah, well, probably best we mute you then. Thanks, Justine.
Good joke
about it.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Sarah. Couldn't
see my coffee. We have now, Justine has left the conversation. Oh no, thanks a million, Justine, though. A few for thought, and guys, send us in your own thoughts. From what you know, because this day is like a lot of the history of Irish wrestling, you guys know it's out there at this stage, mainly because of Justine's podcast. So let us know your own thoughts on your own observations as well, because you guys are objective, whereas obviously Justine's right when he says that we can't be. Anyway, yeah, no, fantastic. To answer your question, Katie, yes, and I really enjoy it.
I'm actually really glad Justy popped in there, because I wished him a happy birthday the other day and he told me he only accepts it publicly, like public happy birthday. So this is my public happy birthday, Justy.
Happy birthday.
No, but I wished him happy birthday on his actual birthday and he's like, I don't accept that because it's not public. Look, that's legit. He's probably logged off, but there we go.
No, he's still here. I think he's getting it. You're all good.
That big thing that says Justy there, that means that there's justice.
Stop making it dumb all the time, boy.
that's a solid wrap up of the week.
Right. Well, will we hop into the questions then?
Let's do this.
Right. First one from Kento. It'll probably only be an hour long, but let's go. Samoa Joe or AJ Styles?
We go quick fire on this. And then if there's any massive AJ.
Are we saying who we're keeping or getting rid of?
Keep.
Oh. Keep AJ.
Samoa Joe.
AJ.
What? Anyway, fuck it. we'll keep a quick fire then, right. Yeah. Kurt Angle or Edge?
Angle.
Edge.
Oh, fucking hell, man.
Oh, that's so tough. Edge.
My head says Angle, but my heart says Edge, so I'm going with Edge. Undertaker or Kane?
Taker, easy.
Taker, yeah.
Kane.
Undertaker. Cena or Rock?
Rock, easy. Rock's favorite wrestler ever.
Cena.
Cena.
Ooh, I didn't expect that. Holy shit.
Oh man, like Cena's my childhood and all the best matches are The Rock. You have to go with The Rock.
Yeah.
Orton or Flair?
Orton.
No, Rick Flair. Like, no.
Oh no, Orton. Yeah, no, Flair actually. Yeah, no. I've watched yeah.
I'm going with Orton.
Orton.
Hard pass on Orton, but it has to be Flair.
This is the one he knew would cause arguments.
HBK. HBK or Bret Hart?
Shawn Michaels.
Bret Hart.
That's Shawn Michaels by a mile.
Bret Hart. It's
I'll go with Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're not comparable because they're around the same time, but when you think about all time, they're not comparable.
Yeah. Especially when the last run of Shawn Michaels, he just like coasted away from. Because again, like it's Shawn Michaels having the best run of his career versus Bret Hart being bitter about the one run in his career when he was amazing. So that was it. Like it was after that, I don't think it was even a contest.
Triple H or Steve Austin?
Triple H.
Gotta be Austin 316.
Oh, for talking their peaks, Austin's best is better than Triple H's best. But if we're taking longevity into account, it's got to be Triple H. Austin, Yanni had like 4 or 5 years at the top with Austin, and it's the thing we forget because he made such an impact. But he was there for a very short time, whereas Triple H is he's a few decades in it. NXT, everything else that came out of it. Yeah, I'm going to go Triple H. Wait,
what are we talking here now? Is this, are these guys like, are we talking about building a roster like in their, like guys in their prime?
No.
Are we talking about like erasing somebody from history?
You just get to keep one.
Keep one, remove one. It's deliberately vague. So you can take whatever you want from that.
Oh, I just don't know who I prefer.
Coffee with him and stuff like that, or like, because they're no good at wrestling either. Well, not either of them at this stage, but like obviously, like if it's nowadays, I'd rather Triple H because he can wrestle and Austin can't. Mm. But I'm talking about, like you said, if you want star power in your roster, you want Austin. Austin's a bigger star than Triple H. But if you're talking about longevity, about the amount of matches you can watch, Triple H would be better than Austin because he obviously had the everything in the attitude area all the way up to now.
But that's the thing. What do you rate? That's the point. That's why it's deliberately vague. It's like, what is important to you? So that's why it's like, keep one, remove one. There you go. That's fine.
He made me stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning to watch Raw through a shitty screen on Cablelink.
It's, what does your heart say? That's
Austin.
What.
Austin. My heart says Austin.
There you go. My heart will go, what? Sorry, that was a really bad joke.
It was actually. I'm surprised you didn't say it. Austin's the biggest star, you know what I mean? Like, one of the biggest stars in WWE. I don't think, like, as a wrestler, Triple H can kind of fill those shoes, even if he's been around longer. So, for that, I'd have to say Austin. Foley or Bryan?
Daniel Bryan, easy.
Daniel Bryan, oh, yeah.
Foley.
This is the hardest one.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because, like, two of them are two of my all-time favorites.
And Mick Foley was in WCW at one stage.
Yeah, but like he's in like one of my favorite matches of all time, and so is Daniel Bryan. I'm gonna go Mick Foley.
Ooh.
Well. Shield or DX?
Shield.
DX.
Shield. Like they got me back into wrestling. Like that's yeah, nice. No, it was tough, but no, Shield.
I don't think it's a bad, like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't disagree with anyone who said Shield. It's a fair choice.
Not only was a good gimmick at the time, but, like, just their six-man tags were, like, were, during that whole year and a half was phenomenal. Like, every time that music hit, you knew shit was going to get out, and you were never disappointed when the music hit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair. That's fair. Whereas DX of a whole, like, yeah, like you could argue that DX had a whole era of disappointment where you're like, oh, it's not DX, but they're going to come out and do weird shit anyway. It's going to be 40-year-old men going, haha, wheelies.
Old DX, like, or should I say the new DX ruined the older version of it for me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, that's fair. Right.
Billy Gunn just being like lunatics, and then Triple H and Shawn Michaels running off screen every time. somebody has to say suck it, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, nah, that's not the X-Man, that's not,
yeah,
they can't own themselves by coming back, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
The last one's a bit more a bit random. Bray Wyatt or Big Show?
Big Show,
yeah.
I'm gonna go Bray Wyatt.
I'm going Bray Wyatt.
Like, I not having Big Show around lately, and then having him come back. Do you remember randomly he came back after WrestleMania? Made me realize that I could, like, have lived my entire life without seeing the Big Show wrestle. And I'm nothing against the guy. I don't dislike him. But I could have lived my entire life without seeing the Big Show wrestle. I don't think my life would be any different whatsoever. Whereas at least Bray Wyatt is always interesting, always good to talk about. It's not always great, but, like, with Big Show, you're not getting classic matches either. There's not, like, great Big Show matches that you're losing. Whereas at least with Bray Wyatt, you're getting something interesting that you're going to, like, you notice Bray Wyatt is gone. And even when he comes back, you're like, what's he going to do? Whereas when the Big Show comes back, it's like, he's the Big Show. He's the exact same. It's just a case of whether he's the bad Big Show or the happy, smiley Big Show. There's no variance in it whatsoever, and he's never brought much to it. Whereas Bray Wyatt at least makes things more interesting.
Bray Wyatt's just a glorified Husky Harris.
Big Literally. Show has had good matches. Like the four-way from WrestleMania and the Jerry Show matches, and, like, He's done really good stuff. Like, he's always managed to stay relevant.
Showmiz.
Yeah.
Just, it's not like there's nothing that I really think back. When I think back to, like, times I liked the Big Show, the only thing I actually think of is, do you remember he was ECW champion back in the day? And, like, he had randomly started doing drop kicks and shit. Like, he started, like, go back and watch it sometime. He started having, like, really good matches every week and not wrestling like the Big Show anymore. It was weird, like. We'd lose the infamous Bossman Robin the Coffin moment. That's probably the most, like notable Big Show moment I actually have in my head. That's the one thing where I'm like, that's when Big Show was interesting or different. Or throwing Austin through the cage. Yeah, I don't know. When you say any of those things, I'm like, yeah, they're not shite, like, but it's not something I'm ever going to go, oh, do you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch that Show Miz match. Do you know what I mean?
What about him and Hulk Hogan? In the monster truck match.
Yes. We lose that.
Boom. Right? Nice close.
Well, did you watch this recently on your WCW watch?
Yes.
Showster or Backlash. We'd lose the Big Show show. So Wyatt. The stairs match, or him having the shits thanks to Eddie's dodgy burrito. Wyatt's never had a monster truck. That's ways it. There you go. You got it at the end.
You're underestimating the stairs match. That was obviously between himself and Eric Rowan at TLC 2014. But I mean, without Bray Wyatt, then you don't have, like, the Wyatts versus the Shield and stuff like that, which also involve Eric Rowan. So I'm going to go with Wyatt. And yeah, that's it. We've actually managed to get through Kento's question quite at a decent pace. So we're going to keep going. Thank you for the question, Kento. At Rovers Are Back, Declan asks, any tips on how to make money from YouTube? I feel this is a key in question because his YouTube channel is gold and I hope he's making money from YouTube. No, this is definitely a Katie question. Katie, how do you make money off YouTube?
Oh, I don't really know how to use YouTube that well. So I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know, Declan.
Well, look, as the social media expert here, I think I could sort of sway in here. The main thing is with your YouTube channel, make sure whatever you decide to put up on YouTube, just put a load of tags that don't actually mean and that don't actually respond to anything you're actually going to show. So if you're going to show, like, just paint drying on the wall, just tag Premier League football, WWE, oh my God, you got to see this. You're going to get those views, man, all those views. People are going to be annoyed when they come in, but still you're going to get that million, 2 million, 3 million views, and then that's what YouTube really wants. So that's a trick.
I remember when I first like started a YouTube channel. This is way before Low Blows or anything. Like, we used to do an old radio show, and like we'd be recording something, and then I'd be like, just list like things. Like, I'd always get like someone, like, so there'd be a little skit or something, but it'd always involve a list, and it's like Manchester United, hot dogs, blah blah blah. And he's like, why am I listing things? I'm like, because as soon as you say them, I can tag them. So that's actually not a bad show, yeah.
It's like when Fight Factory like put on like best wrestling in Ireland.
Like, obviously a lot of people, like, when I think of like making money on YouTube, I think of like the ad revenue and stuff. Since the adpocalypse, it's kind of hard to get that money because there's less of it to go around. You also need to be a very squeaky clean channel. Like, YouTube doesn't really want to give its money to YouTubers anymore. They kind of want the Jimmy Kimmels and like the Ellen DeGeneres type channels, you know, like the actual TV shows, who to sort of upload their own clips and sort of give money to that sort of type of content. You can still make money off ad revenue. You just need basically to not swear, make family friendly content. You need a lot of views. You need a lot of you also need to have long videos as well, like over 10 minutes and stuff like that, to put on like mid rolls and stuff like that. I need lots of subs and all that, basically. But that's just for ad revenue. Really, the way to make money now is through sponsorships and Patreon and things like that. There you go, Declan.
Do you know what else as well, though? Like, if you are looking at content and stuff, and this is kind of a depressing but true thing, you don't necessarily want to be good. You want to be wide-ranging. And the difference with that is as well, like, is because, if you're good, people will give you plaudits and stuff like that. But also, if you're good, you're going to piss people off. So you're going to do stuff that's going to upset people, because you have to be like, you can't be straight down the middle and please everyone. It's like, if you ever see Twitter accounts where it's at wrestling news and it's got like 1.1 million followers, and it's just like, what's the deal with Triple H's hair? And it's like, how is there so many followers? It's because it's called wrestling news. So whenever someone like gets on Twitter and it's like, I think I'd like to follow a wrestling news account, they find this and automatically click follow and don't click twice and don't think twice about it. But like, again, it's never upsetting people. It's never doing anything. The amount of shite wrestling accounts I follow, that's like, I've no idea why I follow them, but like, they never make me think to unfollow them. So being middle of the road as well, like Ian said, like family friendly, no cursing and stuff like that. If you want to be creative and you want to be good, yeah, you're talking about a fan base, and then you're talking about like again, Patreon, and how do you actually make money off that fan base specifically who want to choose to support you. But even then, like, I have people, like, I set up people, for example, the Angry Bartender podcast, which is very interesting lately as all the restrictions I get. And I helped those lads set up because I'd be friends with some of them. And they were asking me about, like, is there any way to kind of monetize or go onto Patreon and stuff? And I was like, no, like, it's not something that, like you have to kind of earn the right to monetize what you do, because people don't necessarily see things as worth money or having value and stuff. There's a lot to take into account. But if you're middle of the road and completely inoffensive, it's almost better and more valuable than being good. Because if you're good, then you have to appeal to a niche market and do it very well. But then you also have to deal with things like, you're going to annoy people, you're going to piss people off, you're going to get negative feedback at times, and you're going to get your feelings hurt. Even Keen, you've spoken before about like seeing comments on Reddit about yourself and so on. And it's part of it, because you're making jokes. And if you're making jokes, there's going to be someone who says, that's not funny. And that's something you have to be able to deal with. Like, it's just part of it. Like, that's a good point that I think is worth raising and kind of highlighting that you brought up there, Keane.
Thank you for the question. Declan, at Chloe_Lynch, what's the best birthday present you've ever gotten?
Oh, good question.
I'm not just going to say this because he's sitting beside me, but Phil has gotten me two of the best birthday presents I've ever gotten. Like, this year he got me pops that were customized to look like me and him, which is so cool because I collect pops. Nice. And now I have these, and they're like in our wrestling gear and stuff, so It's really nice. And he managed to keep it a complete secret as well, which was nice as well. And my typewriter, he got me an antique typewriter for my 30th birthday, shipped from Japan or somewhere?
Well, made in Japan. It was shipped from Birmingham.
But it's a fully working 1970s.
That's right there.
It's in front of me. Yeah, fully working 1970s typewriter, which I've always wanted. It wasn't just a random thing he picked out. I've always wanted one. So.
I can't think of one, and that sounds really sad, but like my brain's just blanking.
I don't get birthday presents really, so off Katie or anyone, so
that's a lie.
I'll tell you what the best birthday present I ever got. It was from Sergio Aguero.
right, that's not an actual birthday.
That's 2012.
That doesn't count.
When he put that ball in the back of the QPR net.
No, didn't do that for you. Didn't say happy birthday, Phil. Doesn't count.
No. Really.
Rick, please hold an answer, please. Anything else?
I got a Man United jersey. Like, I don't know. I'm really awkward to buy for, so I normally just tell people what to get me. I'm one of those.
Like, my answer is not like particularly exciting either. It's just an Xbox 360, which is deadly. But like, it's not like, you know, one of those like mad, like thoughtful gifts. But in terms of like the most like I've ever kind of more one of the most important things I've owned. You know what I mean? Like the years of, like cracking got out of the Xbox. Like absolutely, yeah. I was big into it. So that's probably like the best birthday present. Like most of the best presents I got would be like Christmas, you know what I mean? But because I don't tend to make like a big thing out of a birthday, but so probably that.
There's some good comments from the last question. John got on and said, my best achievement on my own YouTube channel was getting 2,000 views on a movie watch along because I used the phrase Star Trek porn parody in the video description and people were searching for that. It's actually a very good way to get around it. Like, if you can find those search tabs. But here's the thing with search tabs, okay? It has to be like that, where it's both common but not like too common in that you're going to be bottom of the queue. So if you just put Star Trek, no one's going to view it because they have to go 1,000 pages to find your thing. If you find Star Trek porn parody and hit that sweet spot between something that a lot of weirdos are going to look up but not a lot of people are going to make shit for, you're hitting the sweet spot there. Brilliant. Jimmy also said, do TED Talks that seem deep and meaningful, workplaces love them and make people watch them when they are secretly bollocks. Yeah, that's also fair.
At Sean McSarin, I love this question, right? Is Freeway Cola from Lidl or Freeway in general the greatest of all time own brand fizzy drink / drink line out of all supermarkets? I never thought we'd be asked this. This is very random, but I think so. In terms of like, you know, excluding like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and stuff. I have it quite a lot, actually. It's really nice. Anyone have any strong opinions on this?
Yeah, I'm Five Factory, so Team Cadet all the way. Like, I think we're sponsored by Cadet.
I think so. Cadet and Little Brand Capri Suns is the go-to for Five Factory shows.
Capri Sun tag.
When I go shopping, I generally buy the supermarket own brand stuff, except for like three things. Toilet roll, cereal, and fizzy drinks. I cannot do shop supermarket brand in those.
Really?
I have to have real Coke or nothing. And not even regular Coke. Like, it has to be Coke Zero. That's the only one I will drink. I will not drink any other brand, any other shop. I won't even drink Coke out of a bottle. Like, it has to be a can of Coke Zero. Very particular about that.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, there you go, Sean. Thanks for the question. Keith at Bittersweet Chin. At Bittersweet Chin. Something weird that you love to eat, but people are disgusted when you say it. Stuffed sheep's heart would be mine. That's Keith,
that's
not
Mike.
Mine.
That's Mike. You're a psychopath, Keith.
I mean, it's... I've never eaten it. You see, the thing about that is, I don't know what that would taste like, and I've got no image in my head of what it would taste like. So I don't go, eh, what the fuck, because I'm just sort of like, I don't know how to feel about it, you know what
who
I mean?
Who looked at the heart and thought, that needs stuffing? That need, like, who looked at that? Like, why did you... Who came up with that?
Well, we don't know, I mean, about the person who invented milk, what he was at, but that ended up being pretty good in the end, wasn't it?
I think we can guess. I think if you think about the action that's going on there, it's a pretty good fucking solid guess there. And it led from extreme loneliness mixed with extreme, like the end result was extreme boredom. All right, because he's sitting around after his lonely experiment and is like, I wonder. And then milk was made. That's what happened. All right, we know you can guess that. It's A plus B equals C. Come on.
Yeah, but. My point is that milk, you know what I mean, like, is nice. Whereas, like, you wouldn't have known that, you know what I mean? So is a stuffed sheep's heart nice? I'm never going to try it, so I'll never know. But, yeah, interesting. Anyway, what sort of weird shit do you eat?
Hot dog with nacho cheese. It's like my old cinema. If you're going to a cinema, get this. It's my old cinema hangover recipe. Now, you have to get, like, nachos with cheese or popcorn or whatever you normally get as well, because you'll have this if you're hungover, you'll have this in about 20 seconds. But it's really good crap food. Like, it's a lot of crap food all in one to take your mind off your hangover. It's proper comfort food. But people, for whatever reason, get revolted when you tell them about it.
I am a very plain eater. I don't know. I don't think I eat anything weird. I think the weirdest is, like, for school, instead of sandwiches, I used to get two digestive biscuits and put jam in the middle.
Savage. That is not... You are a savage.
Yeah, that is a bit fucked up. Yeah.
It's not that. It's actually really nice. Just two digestive biscuits with a lot of jam in the middle. Like, instead of sandwiches for school. It was
that
deadly.
Is disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
It's proper. It's proper country-like. It's like, this is a substantial meal. Like.
I don't think we can put the country tag on that now. Unless there's other people from beyond the pale there that can back her up.
I think there is.
That sounds rank.
I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only
one. That sounds like a non-privileged childhood and parents trying to figure out snacks that they just couldn't afford anything better. Like.
We couldn't afford Jammy Dodgers, so we had to make I haven't had them in years though, but now I actually think I want some. I might get them in the shop in this week.
No.
It's just like, you will not be having that in my house.
I'm not going to force you to eat them.
If I see an open packet of digestives and an open jar of jam, you may as well sleep on the couch.
You're not used to eat salt sandwiches.
Salt sandwiches?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay, I have my one. So what I used to do is we used to get the tub of butter and we'd like sprinkle sugar on the top of the butter and then just do a finely thin slice of butter and then just eat the butter. And then what you do is you just sprinkled more sugar on. And then you can just thinly suck it off.
Hang on, you're calling my parents poor for digestive biscuits and jam when you reuse a sandwich, essentially.
Well, it was like a bread and butter sandwich, a bread butter and sugar sandwich, but without the bread.
You were just eating spoonfuls of butter and sugar.
Yeah, delicious.
It's hard. It's like, what?
Delicious.
What the fuck? It's literally just like putting pressure on your heart for no reason.
So what I can say is, if I come home this week and find an open loaf of bread,
there's no bread.
Sugar packets.
There's no bread. It's just butter. Like,
I would never feel safe eating butter. Like, if I was you, Katie, I'd never feel safe like just buttering bread. I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna be sweet.
Has this been sugared? Like, I don't know.
Oh, brilliant. John says, pizza dipped in soup, don't knock until you tried it. A friend of mine is also fond of a Chipotle whiskey milkshake. Sugar Sambo all over that. It's not a Sambo, it's a Sambo minus bread. It's just a weird heart attack. When I was in Cubs, we get French toast and sausages every morning during summer camp. That's not strange. I put the sausages in the French toast and pour sugar on. Oh, you've ruined it. You ruined it. I was like, this is so normal and tasty.
Sean, you absolutely fucked it. You fucked it. It was going well. You had the ball in your hands and then you just dropped it. You just completely dropped it.
On a Keith Hanley note, I can confirm he has finalised the Ice Cream World Cup and sent it on to us. So he will be beginning the Ice Cream and Pop World Cup starting next week on Oslo Blows. Back to business as normal, as you can see here. So discussing all the big topics.
Nice. Thank you for the question, Keith. At Nolanoid 4000, what are the other names for the saps in Retribution?
So what we got?
First of all, yeah, the names are what? Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace, I think, right? Yeah, yeah, but I'd love if, like, the other two were just like, I think I'll just go with Kevin, you know?
Cassandra.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we want to be fucking T-Bar! We want to be fucking Slapjack! It's like, oh, I think Kevin is just a nice... We don't need to go too crazy with it. So it's like, I want to see like three shit names, but then two kind of laid back, all right, casual names. You know what I mean?
Mary.
Kenneth.
Kenneth.
You know what I mean?
Slapjack, T-Bar, Mace, Mary, and Kenneth. are they going to like acknowledge that Mia Yim is married to someone on that roster? Or are they supposed to be new people? Like, or are they supposed to be like revamped versions of themselves?
Well, no, I mean, like, what happened is, you know, they've obviously had a change of heart, you know what I mean? They're the same people, but they changed their own identity, and that's, you know, you call them by their new names now, you know? It's like...
So is Mia married to Keith Lee is what I want to know.
Was that relevant in NXT?
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Oh, right. Well...
There's a whole big storyline with, like, Johnny Gargano and Candice, like, they were kind of feuding, like...
Yeah, but I mean, they don't need to be constantly fucking, you know what I mean, with each other for the rest of their WWE careers, you know what
I
mean?
Which, as we discussed before, she attacked him.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, like if she's in Retribution, then she's attacked her husband, and they're just not bringing it up here. Now that we know that it's her, then, like, it's
weird.
Well,
maybe it's a bit like when Bayley joined in on the Survivor Series, you know, one brand beats the shit out of the other brand, and right. She was like the ultimate babyface at the time, but it was all in the name of brand supremacy, so she was forgiven like straight away. I don't know actually. Yeah, I like Sean's idea though. Mace, Circle K, and Topaz. I'd like to change my answer to that actually. I want them all to be named after petrol stations. Bring out Shell, Apple Green, all the boys, they're all going at it.
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Apple Green. Amazing. Snap, Crackle, and Pop as well. Yeah, love it.
Any more suggestions?
Ed and Eddie.
That is a suggestion, yeah. But was there not like another member of well, actually, not it's about a million members of Retribution, aren't there? It's like,
yeah, there's loads.
I'm talking once, and there's like about 100 others that just don't say anything, so I don't know. Fuck it. Thank you for the question, Jonathan. Then, where are we at now? Oh, at @Reen_no_numbers, create the story in which Vince created the Retribution names using Urban Dictionary. Right, Rick, I can't read that. It's way too small on my screen. I'm sorry. This is like Katie levels of unprofessionalism. But
so you're asking the bleeding owl lad to do it, like?
I know. I'm sorry.
This is, look how close I have to come to my computer. Mace is a heavy. We know what a mace is. T-bar is when one is wearing a thong/g-string. They sit down. It sticks out, and you see a T-bar. Example: Johnny, look over there. It's a T-bar. That's not putting it in a sentence. That's just like saying what it is. That doesn't make a difference. Slapjack was the interesting one though. The act of ejaculating on one hand and then slapping another person in the face. There you go, gave Melinda a slapjack after that bitch ate the last hot pocket. Jesus. Okay, that got dark. But yeah, so you want me to create the story? Vince was looking on Urban Dictionary. saw those words and then said, "There tonight." I don't know what you want me to do here, Ian. I don't know.
we're not going to write you a fanfic about Vince and like a lot of wrestlers like slapjacking or whatever it is that they do.
Is that what you're looking for, Reed? Is that what you're asking us to do?
That was my interpretation of the question.
You've got some better questions for that. That's weird now. Don't be doing that.
Create the story. I don't really know. I don't know where you want me to go with that. I don't know. I didn't read a lot of these in advance, so I'm very on the spot right now. I don't have a good answer. Katie, do you have any... I mean, you've got a history of writing fan fiction. Anything that could answer this question?
You draw from it.
You know, I wasn't as weirded out by this question as you guys were. I was just
fan fiction world.
Yeah. Okay. I can send you a link where you can have 10 of these at your fingertips, you know? But I don't know. Like, this isn't the kind of fan fiction that I partake in. So I don't think I have a good answer. I've never heard of the T-bar thing, though. That's a new one. I thought that was called a whale tail.
It could be, like, to be fair. I don't think Urban Dictionary, like, it's not an actual dictionary. They don't own it. Do you know what I mean? If it's on there. That is, like, it is fairly official. Also, shout out Amber is on the screen now.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
Adorbs. It's just looking wistfully out the window. Like, that's a postcard right there.
That's oh, yeah,
a
by the way.
Postcard pose.
Phil's gone. That's why she's looking out the window.
Ah, we're getting a love for Amber in the chat here.
Thank you nonetheless for the question, though, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks for thinking of us.
Sorry.
Spending time writing a question to us.
Sorry, my answer was the shits. But yeah, thank you. At Killer Steve W, in 2020, what is more important for wrestlers, to have a good work rate or be a good promo? I hate that phrase, by the way. Be a good promo. Did any of you feel that, like, I don't know. I just feel like it's, you cook good promos. You do good promos. You know what I mean?
It's very, it's a thing. Like, no offense, Steve, I'm having a go at you. Like,
no, everyone says it. It's not Steven. Yeah.
But yeah,
no.
Like, it's one of those fan things that I think they think wrestlers say. But, like, I don't think the wrestlers say that a lot. I suppose they say, your man's a good promo. Like, I guess,
It's just a minor thing, but either way, anyway, just to answer your question, I think obviously managers. I'm going to exclude managers from this, right? Just to make it more interesting, right? It's entirely subjective. It depends on what you take from wrestling yourself. You know, what I mean, what aspects of wrestling you enjoy. Like, there's loads of good wrestlers who have an excellent work rate, but I don't really give a shit about them. You know what I mean? There's loads of wrestlers who have a good work rate but are shit at promos that I don't give a shit about. Whereas there's wrestlers who are really good at promos who have maybe a shit work rate, but I'd still care about them if they're good at promos and they're good at entertaining me, you know what I mean, on the microphone or whatever. I'll give them, like, more kind of time of day or whatever. For me, I think promos are more important, but it's subjective, though. I wouldn't say it's, like, oh, objectively, this is more important. But I don't know. What's your opinions on it anyway?
It's such a cop-out to say that people have to be able to do both these days, but like for 2020 in particular, if we're zeroing in on the year, like, obviously promos, because there's no wrestling, you know what I mean? People can still get themselves over now through promos, through videos, through skits. And I think when wrestling restarts, there's obviously so many people who are going to want to climb back on the ladder, that I think promos are going to be the things that set you apart, because there's a lot more good wrestlers than there are good promos. So I think the promo is probably going to be more important when we restart wrestling.
I'm only half messing when I say this, but Twitter and social media is more important than both of them, especially now, because that's literally how people are keeping relevant. And also as well, in terms of how fans react to you, like, if you've really bad social media, if you've really good social media, you can overcome being mediocre at both of these two things. If you've really bad social media, it doesn't matter how good you are at those two things. And I'll give you an example. Seth Rollins. Do you know what I mean? Like, Seth Rollins nearly ruined himself because he's bad at social media and how the fans respond to him, to the point that he had to change his character significantly. And also as well, in terms of what Katie's talking about, so if you're talking independent wrestling and people trying to reintroduce themselves because they don't get to wrestle right now, then, yeah, in terms of, like, Twitter, social media, but also, like, I'm not using just, like, tweets. I'm using, like, creativity and marketing yourself. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, even more so than being able to cut a good promo, if you could have got, like, I feel like people who'll be able to come up with, like, a good way to revamp themselves or remarket themselves on Twitter, like, a creative promo video, rather than just, like, cutting a promo kind of in their back garden or whatever, would be more important. So, yeah, Twitter and social media now is ruling the roost. Sean McGovern making the accurate point that Conor Day would rule the world as king of Twitter. Yeah, I agree. And look, I listened to the Midcard Mafia podcast. I'm totally okay with Conor Day being king of the world. I'm happy. If we're all just living in Conor Day's world, it's just when he decides to dominate it. Like, whenever he can get off Reddit for a few minutes. But I think he's good with Reddit for the time being.
Yeah. Thank you for the question, Steve. At Clueless Nerd, Adam asks, if wrestling had season finales, what would some of them be? Daniel Bryan winning at WrestleMania 30 would be a feel-good one. Lesnar beating the streak would be a great dramatic one. I actually think there is season finales in wrestling. I always look at WrestleMania as a season finale. I know, like, it continues, obviously, the next night on Raw. But for me, I've always... And I'm not... Obviously, there's Lucha Underground and stuff as well. But those are, like, actual official season finales because it is a TV show, whatever. But... No, like, when it comes to, like, Raw and stuff, I think, yeah, like, the road to WrestleMania, like, from Royal Rumble onwards, kind of like the last couple of episodes of the season, and then WrestleMania is supposed to be kind of like the big sort of finale. That's just how I looked at it, I don't know. But both of your examples are from WrestleMania, you know what I mean? So that would kind of back that up. What do you think, anyway?
I love this question, because, like, sometimes I wish wrestling had seasons and had an off-season, just to let, like, wrestlers kind of heal and, like, rest and, like, come up with new shit. And then just to build the suspense. So I love the thought of this question. I think you're right with the pay-per-views, but, like, other big moments, because I was only watching it this week on the network, is Rikishi revealing that he ran down Austin.
Yes.
Like, imagine if the episode before that had been the season finale and that's what you're coming back into. It's very like, who shot Mr. Burns? Who shot JR? Like, those kind of cliffhangers.
Or what if that was the cliffhanger? What if it was like Rikishi ran over Austin and we're like, why? And we had to wait a year to find out.
Oh,
we'd be like,
yeah.
Ah!
Yeah, let's not go crazy. When I say, like, we need an off season, I mean, like, a month. Like,
yeah, fair.
Like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, stuff like that where it's like, I'm trying to think of more examples where we don't know who is the person. You know, like, all these kind of turns and stuff.
Kurt Angle kisses Stephanie.
Yes. Oh, my God. Mm. That would be crazy.
Mm. I'm thinking Edge's another good one, like, outside the box. And it's probably just because the wrestlers I'm thinking of are definitely heavily influenced by the wrestlers that Kento asked about earlier on. Do you remember Edge won the Money in the Bank for the first time? And it's like, what is this? What's going on?
Oh, like, when he cashed it in, like.
Yeah, like,
oh,
when he cashed it in.
Yeah,
and then afterwards, they're like, what is wrestling now? Because it was in January, like, so it was on the road to WrestleMania. And we'd forgotten that Edge had the Money in the Bank thing. It was just, like, out of our brains because we'd never seen a cash in before. So we didn't have any reference point for it. It was not something we knew to look out for. And then when he won that, we're like, what is wrestling now? What's happened? Edge is champion. What the fuck? This was not something that was in my plans. It was not something I was even thinking about. So that's a good one. Like, there, like, season finales, cliffhangers are a great way. And that takes it off the WrestleMania thing. Because, again, I don't know if I like season finales these days where everything is wrapped up and the good guys win. Like, maybe give me, like, that's episode 9. Episode 10 should be, like, shit gets fucked up again to make you watch the next season, you know?
Adam in the chat with a brilliant one. The debut of the original Nexus.
Yes!
That would be a whopper, like.
Yeah, shit gets fucked up. That's, like, that's what you want, like. Like, think even where we're at with Cobra Kai. I won't get into spoilers, but think about where we're at with Cobra Kai. The best thing is where it's, like, oh my God, everything I thought I knew was done. Like, in Cobra Kai, the second last episode was the one where it's like, oh, this is what I wanted to be. This is it. And then it's just like, now we're going to ruin everything. So anything that does that is a brilliant season finale. Lesnar beating the streak. Yeah, it's the ultimate season ender. McMahon is the higher power. Yes. But then you have Austin coming out straight away. See, again, you got to remember the great thing about the McMahon is the higher power thing was, like, that wasn't the big reveal of that. It wasn't even the big reveal of that skit, because later in that skit, Austin came out and he's like, "Yeah, I knew you were the higher power. You revealed yourself to me last week. I'm actually the CEO now." And that was the big reveal of it. But people forget that. So, yeah, there's loads.
He says Lesnar beating Undertaker would be the ultimate season ender. That was Jonathan that just said that, by the way. But obviously, Adam suggested it as well. If it was a season finale, though, and the season finale was, you know, it was billed as this big, you know what I mean, final moment between Lesnar and Undertaker, would it have been, like, would more people have suspected that Lesnar was going to win then? You know what I mean? The reason it was such a shock is because it wasn't even the main event or anything. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just another WrestleMania match in a sea of WrestleMania matches. Like, you'd expect Undertaker to coast through it. You know what I mean?
That's like Joffrey dying in episode, like, 3 or 4 of the season.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, yeah, they did that a lot. Yeah. So I think,
that's a very good point.
Bad season finale. Don't want to change my mind. Bad suggestion. but I like the Daniel Bryan one. That'll be like, Daniel Bryan winning would be like a good overall show ender. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there was a final season or whatever. Fair enough. Or no, do you know what I mean? This just jumped into my mind there. I remember, was it when Triple H, when remember when the roster walked out with Triple H? And it was
left. And it's like, how are they going to do a show? That's the best part. Because, yeah, like, it needs to be a question, like, everything is fucked. What's going to happen? Like, that makes you tune back in. Yeah, that's a brilliant one. Brilliant.
thank you for the question, Adam. At Scott _ Aspel, bit of a morbid one, but what do you see the first few WWE shows, pay-per-views, after Vince retires / passes away? You don't know, like, what's going to be happening, you know, when that happens. So it's hard to really kind of predict it. I imagine a lot of people expect like a gigantic jump, you know what I mean? Where all of a sudden it'll go from being really shit to really good because it's dead. I think it'll be a more kind of gradual process than that, I'd imagine, you know, if new people take over and stuff. We'll wait and see. It's kind of hard. I mean, I don't know. Either you have an idea?
Like, I find it harder to predict what it's going to be like a year after Vince McMahon dies, because I don't know how wrestling is going to play out. I think at the start, I can quite easily imagine it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird. And, like, it's going to be... Here's the thing that we're going to... Here's the thing that... Now, people talk about Vince McMahon's death, and it is, like, we shouldn't be doing that. Like, we're better than that. Like, regardless, it doesn't matter if your favorite wrestler is not getting a push. And that's 90% of what it's about most of the time. People try and make it about a moral thing, but it's not. It's about you don't like wrestling anymore. If Raw was good, you wouldn't be angry. But, like, that's ultimately what it's about. We're talking about a guy dying. But, like, if we're going to have this conversation, it's going to be weird for the start, because here's the thing. As much as people might think wrestling's going to be better when it happens because he's out of touch, like, we're also then going to have to deal with the sadness of not even sadness, whatever emotion it's going to provoke of not having Vince in our lives anymore. That's going to be huge. Like, that's going to be like a month's worth of it's going to be ages just trying to process that, because that's been the constant in, it's like Alex Ferguson leaving Man United almost, you know what I mean? Like that. And it's the only thing I can kind of use where it's like, I have always known this to be the case. I don't know what this looks like without this person there. And again, like, it's, I'd imagine like the first few shows to be almost like Man United were, like, without Ferguson, because it's just like weird, not the same, familiar, but somehow different. And I don't know what's missing and I don't know how to fix it. And it's just not right, because everything that I've ever known is now gone. Like, it's going to be very fucking strange is the answer. It's not going to be instantly amazing, because it's going to be run by a family who is seriously grieving the loss of their father. So they're not going to be in a creative funk. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to be like, I am on fire right now. They're going to be like, I miss my father. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're talking about. So it's not just going to instantly become like the best NXT takeovers is all of wrestling. Like, that's not what it'll be. And it'll probably be like there's probably a lot of stuff where it's like it's probably being prepared for. Do you know what I mean? Like there's probably plans in place right now where it's like here's the way you run WWE. Triple H has been doing this for what seems like forever now in preparation. So it'll probably be quite normal also in a way because again they plan for this. But again, if you ask me what it's going to be like 2-3 years afterwards, I don't know. Like will the McMahons even still run wrestling? That happens quite a lot when like the big figure leaves something where it's just a total revamp at the top, and we think that it's going to be like even with sports clubs and stuff like that, we think the family's just going to take over, but then they're like, no, we're just going to sell, like, because we don't know how to do this. He was kind of the guy, so but I can imagine what it's going to be like. It's going to be weird, it's going to be sad, and it's not going to be, yeah, like Ian said, it's not going to be this big new dawn of wrestling that I think a lot of people imagine it to be.
Well, like, I don't think it'll be that sad. You know what I mean? It'll be definitely weird, though. I think long-term, you can't really predict it. Because the difference between Alex Ferguson and Vince McMahon is that under Alex Ferguson, Man United were fucking unbelievable. They adapted with the times and kept winning titles, kept being at the top of the league, you know what I mean? Like, every season, you know what I mean? For the amount of time that he was in charge. So when he left, it was like, well, it's only going to be downhill from here, you know what I mean? And then we got Moyes, and it ended up being a steeper hill than many expected. But I think with WWE, I don't know. I'd be very surprised if, like, it got worse. You know what I mean? Like, I get you do make a valid point about, like, short-term, like, people in the company are grieving and stuff like that, and, you know, the actual content of the show isn't really at the forefront of their own kind of focus. But long-term, you know what I mean? I'd be surprised if it didn't improve somewhat, you know what I mean? But again, it's hard to predict these things. Like
again, we could get into a whole like discussion about what is good wrestling and if WWE is good, but like also as well, like WWE gets put under a heavier microscope than anything. And like there's the question of is WWE that bad, or have we just completed WWE and we need more stuff? Like, because again, like you see actual bad wrestling, like say Dino or not, like All Out, like when you see stuff that's actually like what bad wrestling is at the top is like Matt Hardy with the concussion, and it's just like, oh, this is like horrifically bad. Like, it's not just like a match that's bad or an angle that's not a good idea. It's like no one knowing who's in charge and just everything seeming out of control and stuff like that, which WWE has never really been. Like, it's been weird at times, and it's been like they don't know what's going on, or this isn't a particularly good idea, but it's always seemed like in control. Whereas like All Out and that happening is like, that's what's like our TNA when like Jeff Hardy got drunk and is in the main event of a pay-per-view, and we're like, oh my god, this is so, get it off my screen. Like, that's what bad wrestling is. Whereas I don't think WWE is bad. I think we're just probably outgrown it a little bit, and I think it's like, it's probably perfectly fine. Like, if you're a 12-year-old kid who's never seen wrestling before, it's probably fine. It's just we can't be that anymore, and I think we resent that a little bit.
But I think if you're a 12-year-old kid, anything is good for you, you know what I mean? You're a 12-year-old kid, you'll follow it, but that includes bad wrestling, you know what I mean? So it's like, whether it's good or bad, the kid's going to love it.
No, because if you're 12, you still know that, like, they told you Matt Hardy just lost the match and now the match is still happening. Like, 12-year-olds, let's not underrate them. They do understand what confusion is. So, like, a confusing situation that, like, where they're being told one bit of information and then the opposite is happening in front of them is, like, different to, like, applying critical thinking for whether a match was 4 or 5 stars. Do you know what I mean? Like, or 2 or 4 stars maybe would be a better example. But, like, that like, we criticise WWE using heavy critical thinking, whereas I think bad wrestling, when you see it, it's just bad. You know what I mean? It's just, you instantly know, this is shit. Stop. And I don't know if WWE is ever that level of bad. I just think WWE is a bit like it's a bit played out. Like, it's, again, it's an L guy who isn't necessarily up to speed on what the kids are into. He doesn't know what slapjack means. is kind of what the deal. So I don't know, Kay, what are your thoughts on all this? I know we're kind of dominating a bit.
I don't think it'll be that big a shift. I think Vince is just slowly going to give up power and responsibility as the next few years go on. And I honestly think that his passing won't have a dramatic effect on what goes out on TV. So I think he will have passed that on beforehand. He's already doing it. I mean, like, he's nothing to do with NXT. You know what I mean? I think he's already loosening control. I know lots of people are like, oh no, Vince will never give up control. But at the end of the day, he's what, in his 70s? Like, probably wants to enjoy his last decade or two. Like, he is going to start giving up control, and they're going to have things in place. So it's not going to be that shock, you know, like, oh, no more Vince. Now we have to change everything. So I don't think it's that going to be that big a deal when he does.
It depends as well. Like, if Vince died tomorrow of a heart attack, it's very different to Vince having a long debilitating illness where the family are fully prepared. Do you know what I mean? Like, the two are completely different scenarios, and the reactions and how things are going to be will also play a big factor in that. It is very morbid, but it's also a look at the amount of conversation it's got now. But so it was a good question.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Scott. At Mr. Linda Block, John asks, with the passing of Road Warrior Animal, what are some of your favorite Legion of Doom matches? For me, the Chicago Street Fighter WrestleMania 13 always stood out, proving they could still go. I'll be honest with you, the Road Warriors were before my time. So I don't have any, like, really big Road Warrior memories growing up. So I don't really have any, like, single matches that I can kind of point at and go, that's my match. But I don't know, do either of you have any...
I'm pretty similar to yourself in that, I would have seen them when they were like in 1998 WWE, but then they would have been a bit too cartoony for me. Do you know what I mean? Because I was like an edgy teen man at that stage, and like I was into like what the Attitude Era was. So they seemed really old and dated, and they were just kind of phased out of TV, which is sad for a tag team as legendary as they were. But it was just kind of ushered off because it was old school. But also, completely change the subject. But I meant to ask you this, Katie. I've got a bit of Umbrella Academy trivia for you.
Okay.
All right. What 90s WWE wrestler makes a cameo in the second series of Umbrella Academy?
No. Really?
Yeah.
Someone does?
Yeah. I noticed them straight away, but then they've aged. So I'm like, that can't be. But I think it is. And then I looked it up and it was.
Who is it?
Okay, so I'll give you a clue. See if I can jog your memory. At one stage there... in a fight with number one.
Oh, okay. I know the scene. I've got the scene. But who's the wrestler?
You giving up?
Yeah.
It's Kurgan out of the Oddities.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think Phil said that he recognized whoever that was. And yeah. Just never clicked with it.
Yeah,
oh my God,
yeah,
that's mental.
I only watched that episode the other day. I was like, I must see if you coughed it as well. But yeah, no, sorry, what were we saying? So it was like that was kind of my Road Warriors experience where I never kind of really got into them. What is it? They did that match. Hold on, Katie, if you've won, I might jump in because I think I have one. I just want to make sure.
I'm kind of the same as Kane.
Is fucking tragic, man.
I know. I feel awful. I've always been aware of them. I've always recognized them, but they were just either like before my time or on whatever I wasn't watching at the time, you know?
No denying like the impact that I had in tag team wrestling though. You know what I mean? It's not to be disrespectful, obviously, but it's just, yeah, literally I'm a fucking baby. Like,
well, I think that's a testament to their legacy that we weren't around to watch the matches, but we still all know who they are.
Yeah, yeah, and you can see like certain tag teams that came after them that were influenced by them and stuff. You know what I mean? Mm. It's mad.
I think I was more Demolition. But they weren't like, I have a few Demolition memories and moments, but like, yeah, the Road Warriors. And the sad thing is, Demolition were written as like a ripoff of Road Warriors, but it worked. I remember them. Our Animal. He's obviously Johnny Laurinaitis' brother. Anyone know that as well? Yeah. So, who was it? It was Animal who was in the tag team with Heidenreich in mid-90s.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That's literally that's, like the most not, exposed.
I'm not going to call that my Road Warriors memory.
Yeah, it can't be, but like it's literally the most exposed I was to them, as sad as that is. It's just like a gap in my wrestling knowledge, and I'd be fairly like encyclopedic in what I've gone back and watched, but for whatever reason, their careers have just like I've just gone parallel with them.
They actually won the WWE Tag Team Championship. Hyde and Reich and Animal did, with Chrissy Hemme as their valet.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
That's so 2005 SmackDown, isn't it? Like, I love that.
It is. It's literally like a SmackDown fucking career mode storyline where you're playing as Heidenreich because he's inexplicably your favorite wrestler. But Road Warrior Animal is chosen to be the tag team champion partner with whoever, whatever wrestler you decide to play as. And Christy Hemme is the random valet. But yeah, there you go. Look, rest in peace anyway. Look, apologies we didn't know more. Maybe now it's an opportunity to go on a YouTube deep dive and educate ourselves on some quality Road Warrior stuff. So guys, if you have any that you want to tweet us in, by all means, if you have any recommendations that you like, WrestleMania 13, the Chicago Street Fight, though, there you go. That's always one. That's one from John anyway. And
thank you for the question, John. At Henry the Great, weirdest conspiracy theory you've heard in wrestling. Mine is one I came up with recently. The Owen Hart entrance that cost him his life was never due to be televised on the pay-per-view, so it was pointless. And yes, I have logic behind this. Was this not... Was there not a video package playing when he made his entrance?
I don't know now.
I thought...
What does it mean, a conspiracy he came up with? Is this something... Like, is this a thing that's been going around or something that he came up with himself?
That he came up with himself. But I thought, like, it was... Yeah, it was never due to be televised because it was a video package on instead. It was for the live fans, I thought.
Yeah. Like, that's a known thing, like...
Yeah, I think that's a conspiracy theory.
He sent us in. I apologize, Stephen. We never actually, because sometimes I don't read these questions until like we're actually organizing the show. I'll have a scan over, but if it's a longer question like this, I'll just be like, I'll look at what the actual question side of it is and try plan an answer, and then I'll kind of enjoy it like as we get on the air. So apologies, I didn't actually ask what yours was, but he did get back to us nonetheless and said, over the edges and on the network, there are two things which combined make me think the own entrance wasn't to be televised: live pay-per-view feed and the audio from the Spanish commentary team. Pay-per-view feed shows a promo for the Blue Blazer for the match. On the Spanish audio, you hear the promo playing, his own has his fall. So this wasn't to be shown. It wasn't.
I thought that's a conspiracy theory, though, is it?
It's not. Like, it wasn't supposed to be shown. I'm sorry. I feel like we're sitting on your theory. It's a solid theory. You were right, though. No one can ever take that away from you.
Yeah. I mean,
you can know that your theory was accurate.
We've definitely done conspiracy theories on here before. I love the Montreal Screwjob being an accent theory. I still back that up 100%. The McMahon family not being the real McMahons. only stand by that one as well. any other good ones?
I just Googled them just out of curiosity, and I love this one. Vince hates SmackDown. Because you do... Like, you see this narrative with, like, Vince hates, you know, this particular type of wrestler. Vince hates SmackDown. Vince hates whatever. No, Vince loves money. And if something is making him money, he is not going to hate it. Why would he invest in a show like SmackDown if he hated it and wanted to fail?
Because they're the enemy. The Raw brand is the flagship. Brand supremacy. Why would he set up Survivor Series to be Raw versus SmackDown if he didn't want Raw to batter SmackDown? Fully back that theory. Good theory.
Like, the next one I click onto is Vince hates WCW stars. Again, he used quite a few of them that made him money. So, like, I don't think he hates them. He just hates the ones that won't make him money. Like, I'm pretty sure he hates any wrestler that won't make him money. I don't know if I know many conspiracy theories outside of this for a wrestler.
There's a few here I'm looking up. I always like the ones where there's multiple wrestlers, like, and someone had died or something. So Dana Brooke, I never knew that there was a Dana Brooke conspiracy, that there's multiple Dana Brooks out there. Amazing. That people would think that, like, she was important enough to fake. It's like something awful's after happening to Dana Brooke. And Vince is like, instead of telling the world, he's like, the wrestling world isn't ready to live without Dana Brooke. And then clone the new one. Amazing. The Ultimate Warrior as well. That's a big one. Here we go. The we'll never see the real Vince McMahon. It's a fake one. This is one, a Wikipedia entry announcing Nancy Sullivan was dead while Chris Benoit was still alive in the house. Apparently, like, yeah, I've heard that one before. It was updated. I don't think it's true though. And then what is it? Like I've told that story before, where I was there where the Kevin Sullivan rumors started, and he was later investigated for the murders of it, because Tracy Smothers was ripping the piss out of some Irish wrestling journalist who actually worked for PW Insider and reported it on the website as if it was a fact minutes later, and that started the Kevin Sullivan thing that's now been covered in Dark Side of the Ring to that point, but yeah, so Chris usually has a few ones about women's wrestling and women in general. I like how this became a dig at Chris being a sexist out of nowhere. Fantastic stuff. Yeah.
Thank you for the question, Stephen. At Simpsons WWE, what's the earliest major historical moment you can remember? Ooh, I can remember the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Asked my dad, who's a builder, if he was helping to pull it down and work. yeah, so what are the major historical moments that you remember?
Katie, do you remember?
Oh, I think for me,
just going back,
do I remember things in general? It's a struggle. But
no,
I
mean, like what's the earliest memory like? Do you remember, like, you know, John Lennon being shot, or like?
I think my earliest historical memory is probably the Alma bombings or something around that era. What was that, 1997?
Yeah.
So I would have been eight years old.
It was 98. I was born during that.
That's 10 yeah. You don't need to add to that. oh, Princess Diana Dine, Keith said, yeah, I remember that. That was 1987. So yeah. Apparently I developed memories in 1997 and don't really remember much before that.
Diana Dine was for me, it was the one I initially thought of, and I remember it because I used to always come downstairs, because at that stage I couldn't stay up late for Match of the Day, but they repeated, as I think they still do, first thing in the morning on a Sunday, and I came down at like 7 o'clock on the Sunday morning to knock on the TV, and I was really pissed off, like I was like, the news is on forever. And then I was like, right, I suppose I better watch. This seems important. And then I was like, oh, the princess died. And I like had no relevance for it, but it was interesting anyway. And I was interested in the story. And obviously, it's such a sensational story, the way it happened and whatnot, that it's hard not to capture the imagination in a morbid way. If we're counting like real in the years level history, I remember like watching Ray Houghton score in Giant Stadium. Like I remember like Ireland beating Italy and World Cup 94, like, so I remember that. I have a lot of football memories from around that time, like Cantona kicking the fan and coming back against Liverpool and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff like that, but Princess Diana in terms of like pure historical stories, I do like the fact that Joe, you saw your dad, like you saw a wall being pulled down, you're like, dad, this is what you do, isn't it? Amazing stuff.
Joe's dad. Fucking take down the Berlin Wall. I'm fully, that's my conspiracy theory. I'll buy into that now. he was a builder, to be fair to him, like, so.
There we have Sean got on and said the first thing that comes to mind would be Obama being elected. There's probably an earlier one, like the 2008 financial crash. Thing is with the financial crashes, there wasn't like a memory or a moment.
There wasn't a moment, yeah. Like, it's just gradual, like, kind of.
Like, what, Keane, do you remember like 9/11?
No, not at all. I know where I was. Like, I know, like, because what you got, like, my dad would tell me wherever.
You're
like,
sitting
what?
In your high chair.
I was in Trebolgan of all places. Yeah. It was on the TV and stuff. But no, I don't remember. I would have been like, what, 3, 2, 3, something like that. So I don't remember anything like that. Sean would be around my age. So his earliest memory is 2008. Mine, you see, I can't think of anything historical from like, what, 2001, 02, 03, 04. Mine is actually, the one like news story I remember, what you call it, is the 7/7 terrorist attacks in London, 2005. Mm. So I was on my summer holidays in Waterford, and I remember seeing on the TV, like in the hotel that morning, when like it was breaking news and all that was happening. So I would have been like 6 maybe, something like that. But yeah, I don't know, I suppose that kind of would probably be it.
I feel really bad. Like, I had a really good 9/11.
Oh my god.
Like, I'm not saying, like, no, it was really worrying. Like, but again, you're too young. You don't appreciate the historical context or anything like this. And think of that stuff. My mate came back from holidays and brought pelicans. And we went out to the green to play it. And then I came home after that and I'm like, oh shit, something's after happening. And I was like, I felt so bad because, like, I'm watching it and going, yeah, this is horrific. But also, like, I'm a 13-year-old kid. So I'm like, yeah, I think tomorrow I'm going to go back out and shoot him in the face.
Those pelicans come through the airport because that was probably the last time pelicans were brought through an airport. Like,
history was made that day.
Everything would have changed. I have a real nerdy one for Obama being elected. I was in college studying politics when Obama was elected. And we went into college the next day and it was like WrestleMania because everyone had stayed up through the night to watch the election counts. And then we went into school the next day and then, like, it was just a fucking sesh. It was a party. Like, all these politics students just being like, yes, Obama. Like, it was the nerdiest. It was the nerdiest thing I'd ever been involved with, but I loved it. I was going to school with, like, my Obama autobiography, like, in my bag. Like, I've actually just finished this if anyone wants to lend of it.
That's hilarious. I did that for the 2012 one. There you go. Sean said the first would have been Michael Jackson being brought to court for alleged kiddie fiddling. Also, yeah, I actually remember something from my youth of Michael Jackson being brought to court for kiddie fiddling. He quite the legacy. Jimmy said 9/11. We saw it on TVs beside the cinema after seeing Zoolander. Junior cert results next day. See, this is the stuff they don't tell you about. Like, 9/11, the world kept moving. Pelicans were bought. Junior cert results were given out. I'm just saying.
We were sent home from school when it happened. Like, I was in sixth class and the teachers came in, they start running room to room, and then a TV was wheeled out and the news was turned on and then all the kids were sent home.
Jesus. Like, really?
I don't know whether my small village just really was very attached to the Twin Towers or something. Yeah. But, like, we were all... Like,
stop making me laugh.
I don't mean to make you laugh.
The,
like,
buildings. They're so, like, attached to the buildings.
But, like, I've said it to people since then. Like, obviously, when this comes out, like, oh, where were you when it happened? And I think I've never met anyone else who's, like, Irish village primary school was sent home to watch the news. Like parents were just called to collect us. Like, that didn't happen anywhere else.
Mad, though, like, when you go... When you go through those things, like, people don't know what to do. They don't know what's appropriate. Like, I find that really interesting, like, how people react to stuff. We kind of got to live through it, and we still are, in a way, living through it now with the coronavirus. Because consider this, what we're living through right now, this would be a generation of stories. We'll be listening to a podcast or whatever a podcast is 20 years from now, and people would be like, remember the coronavirus? You know what I mean? Like, and, like, people don't know what to do. And, like, especially at the start of this, we had to, like, live through that where everyone was like, we talked about it on the podcast. We were like, I don't know if we should blah, blah, blah. One week we made a joke. I remember literally the last podcast before we went into lockdown, I started it with a joke that you'd caught coronavirus. I was like, man. And then the next week it's like, we're at home now. And we didn't see each other for months. Like, it's nuts. Like, so yeah, no, it's mad. A really good question though. Jesus.
Yeah, great question. At Owen_Davis1, what's the worst pain you've ever been in? I once had an ingrown toenail dug out over 45 minutes without anesthetic. My fucking God. Because, and I quote, you don't need that. Okay.
To Katie mentioning her elbows in 10, 9,
I was actually going to pick a different one because I think he's all over her.
Your elbows. What?
Was it when you, like, was it also when you broke your nose in the karate tournament that got battered?
No, I have other incidents of pain. Like, I once chipped a bone off my heel doing the same dive off the top rope. You'd think I would have just given up after that first one. Yeah, chipped a bone off my heel. That was really fucking painful. Getting a camera up my nose and down my throat a couple of years ago to check something was excruciating. And I just wasn't prepared for how painful. You know the way when, like, something bad happens and you're prepared for the pain. You're like, oh, a broken bone, that's going to hurt. A sprained ankle, that's going to hurt. Like, I was not prepared for the pain of that camera going down my nose. A funny one. I was playing baseball once and someone hit the baseball straight into my eye and I got a really bad black eye. And that was really, really painful.
Oh.
But yeah, only attempt ever at playing baseball. Didn't go well.
You're more of a roundness person now, yeah?
Yeah.
Underarm throws it away forward. Jeez. Getting kicked in the balls, I suppose, is like the main thing. And I don't have a particular instance of it. It's just always painful. If you ever just get hit there. Because I think of stuff like bad back is the main injury I've had. I always will, I guess, have it because that's the point of it. It never goes away. But the problem is you don't really feel pain because when you have a bad back, you're mainly just sitting in stillness, trying not to move because if you do, you're going to get pain, or you're spasming and you're avoiding pain and you have to limit your movements because of that. But because of that, you're not actually in pain, if that makes sense. So I don't know, I suppose, yeah, it's getting kicked in the balls. Otherwise there's nothing really that comes to mind. You think I wrestled for 5 years, but I never bumped. It's the true story. No, there's not much there. That'd be
I'm just because I don't really have a story myself either, so I'm just going to read some of the chat here, right? Jonathan Nolan says, broke my ankle, and the night after surgery, my leg slipped off a ramp overnight because Tala Hospital didn't have slings.
Tala's great. Wait, yeah.
No, but lads, it gets worse. Right, Sean, first of all, he says, I got a dead leg playing five aside a couple weeks ago, couldn't run for about 5 minutes. That's pretty bad. Adam says, thought I broke my wrist, went to the hospital for an x-ray. They said it was a bad sprain and strap it up. Spent the next 3 weeks going about as normal, in a lot of pain. Decided to go back to hospital for another x-ray. Turns out it was broken. But then, Keith Hanley comes in. And lads, just brace yourself because it's as
cringy one.
It's as tough as it gets. Katie, your injury, whatever. You know what I mean? This, what Keith says here is just, on my back picking up socks. There we go.
Back injuries are sore, okay, right?
Yesterday, he says as well. Well, just the way he said it. Just six words. He just says it. I know you can't hear him through text, but it just looks so unenthusiastic. That's the way it makes me laugh. Everyone else is pouring their heart out in the chat. They're like, this traumatizing injury, which I have to suffer through when I think about it every day. And Keith's like, yeah, but I've done my back end pickup.
And that's only because he had to type. If Keith was here, I feel like he'd be like, back sucks. Just expect us to fill in the blanks.
I'm on my side and can't move. Well, I hope the sound of me laughing at you right now makes you feel somewhat better. I'm so sorry, Keith.
We're a couple of injuries. Amazing. Well played, Jimmy.
Thank you for the question, Owen. It's a great question. At @pop_cult_pod. A very interesting question here. Tom asks, if you were arrested and people didn't know what crime you committed, what would they assume you were arrested for?
I think you got this ages back, but I can't remember what I said. Shit.
probably for pirating two wrestling shows. if I had to guess.
He's lying. It's not wrestling that I pirate. I wouldn't pirate.
You pirate?
No, I don't pirate. I watch two sitcoms that you can't watch over here.
Oh,
Baba Car.
That's all. And he's correct when he says he doesn't watch them because he hates them, so he rolls over and plays on his phone while they're on.
Jonathan, you wouldn't steal a wrestler. Right, what would people assume that you were arrested for? Immediately they go to I don't know, your mate or your family or something and say, Katie's been arrested. What comes to mind?
Probably accidentally committing fraud.
Oh, sucking.
Accidentally committing fraud is the most Katie thing ever. I can't imagine Katie doing that.
Yeah, just like accidentally like assuming someone's identity or like something.
You're just
like
tapping
that.
Someone else's card that just looks like yours.
Yeah, like it would be something accidental and I would get myself into a whole big rigmarole and, you know, that would happen.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I believe it. Accidental fraud, like of all people I know, when it's you, I'm like, yeah, no, I can see that happening.
For me, I think either Robin Pringles is kind of the obvious one, or or something like maybe holding the CEO of deals hostage until he ensures I have like a steady supply of deals onion rings, something along those lines, perhaps. Rick, what's your?
I think people would assume that, like, I think I'd get respect in a weird way where, like, people would assume, like, some kind of fraud scheme, but I think they'd assume that it's one of the good ones and I got away with it for a certain amount of time. I think people would give me that respect in terms of the crime that I commit. Do you know what I mean? I think they'd be like, oh, I thought you got away with it.
So you would put the fraud scheme in motion and I'd be the one who gets caught for it. That's exactly.
I think people would definitely believe that. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's it. Exactly. It's like Rick was just handing out cards to Katie. And Katie got arrested, but they eventually found out it was Rick. I think people would be like, yeah, all of that seems plausible.
Jonathan Nolan says, I've been told by two different people that I look like an Estonian drug dealer.
Holy shit, yeah.
Not like Latvian or Lithuanian. It has to be Estonian.
Estonian, I mean, like this,
not Russian, not Finnish. Estonian, specifically Estonian. From Tallinn.
It's the deadness behind the eyes. What are you asking, John?
For two people to say that, I feel like I don't know. Maybe that is your answer to this question, but it's a very good question, by the way. Thank you, Tom. In the same week, they both accused him of being or they said that he looks like an Estonian. I don't think they accused him, but they said he looks like one. but yeah, thank you for the question, Tom. At Spudino90, Chris asks, €1 million, but for the rest of your life, you are permanently slightly too hot. Not like being in a sauna or anything, but just slightly too hot, like at a level where, like at a level that would give you visible pit stains if you lifted your arms up, but not huge ones you couldn't hide. So that's the level of heat we're discussing here.
He also went on to clarify, he said, just because I feel I undersold, the pit stains isn't the bad part. It's the permanent state of mild discomfort from being just a bit too warm.
I think it's one of these things where I would take the money, but then when I actually experience it, I'd be like, no, I can't. Like, this is. But then, like, I'm the sort of person that wears, like, a hoodie in, like, 40 billion degrees heat. You know what I mean? So I feel like I could handle it.
But you also hate heat. I've seen you like come apart at the seams as a human under like duress.
Yeah, but I don't get paid €1 million for it. I feel like that. I could, you know what I mean? It'd calm me down a bit. you know,
I wouldn't take this. Really? I'm confident I wouldn't take it. Yeah, I hate it. Like I can't. Like I'm miserable.
I assume this means that like you can't get any. Can you get any like temporary relief? You know what I mean, like a fan or anything like that.
No, you're just permanent.
Yeah, that's what I assume. Yeah, I think it sounds like hell, but I feel like I just can't turn the money down. It's a lot of money. Like,
think about when you're going to sleep. Okay, think about like having that feeling.
Oh yeah,
fair. You just can't every night knowing that's the way it is. Right,
you got
forever.
Me. You got me.
You know what I mean? Like,
I could take it during the day, but at night, like asleep, fair. Right,
because it's like give me an hour of that. Like when I'm really tired and I really want to go to sleep, but it's too warm. Like give me an hour of that, and I'm like, I'll give you back. I'll give you €1 million. Like we're over the payment plan. I'll give you €1 million. Just like put me in the right temperature immediately. so for me this is easy. I wouldn't take it. Great question though. It's a thinker.
Well, Charlton says also you die after a week of being a bit too hot. Yeah, but we're gonna pretend that's not the case. For the sake of this question,
I would absolutely take the money because I feel like this is 90% of my life already. I am constantly always just a bit too hot. I wear shorts and flip-flops constantly, like even in the dead of winter, because I'm always a little bit too hot. So I would like
the
to
PG thing.
What? Probably. A lot of people who work in gyms wear shorts constantly.
Yeah. It's a big PT thing. Like, it used to drive me insane because I lived with a PT. And he's like, you don't need the heat. And it's like, it's literally freezing in December. And he's just walking around. He's like, you just got to get up and do some jumping jacks. No, it's Christmas.
Fuck
I'm off. Having a mince pie by the fire.
Thank you for the question, Chris. We disagreed on that one. Interesting, though. At Joe Stodge, do you have nicknames for people in your area? My wife calls the neighbor Ali Express because she covers herself in fake designer clothes, and another is called Snackbox because he gets chipper delivery 7 days a week. I don't really know how many people in my area really, you know what I mean? What about you? Do you have any nicknames?
Where I grew up, everyone was always had a nickname. Like down the local pub, everyone has nicknames. Like my ma and dad are known as Zig and Zag because they're always together. Like people never see them apart. They do have some really mean nicknames for people as well, though. Basically, if you don't know what your nickname is, it's a horrible nickname people won't say to your face. So it's better to know your nickname. Some more will probably come back to me.
On Zig and Zag related news, has anyone seen that Dennis coming back?
Really?
Yeah, it was announced today. It's coming back to like every Sunday building into Christmas, Sunday evenings.
That's lovely.
Like Ray Darcy, Zig, Zag, Dustin, the lot. They haven't mentioned about Snotter or Socky. We're still awaiting those announcements. But the Den's coming back. Keen, do you know the Den?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Socky and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I would have seen a bit of that growing up, yeah.
Fair.
The big bus quiz. That was my favourite part of it.
Yes. What's Snots, of course, is the famous clip. That's coming back in November, the end of November, so around like toy show time. Exciting news. I don't know, Joe, this is one of those questions where I think you got us beaten. I just like wanted to listen to your answer. Fantastic. I'm a big fan of Snackbox.
Snackbox. I like Snackbox is living the life, you know what I mean? Respect to Snackbox on that one.
Yeah. Snackbox is also a Roddy Doyle character. Like Colin Meaney's like fucking Snackbox over there. Like it's I'm into it. I really like it. There was a chap called Deadman. He was an old guy that would walk around with a crutch and a bag of stones, and if you called him Deadman, he'd take a few of the stones and throw them at you.
When was that? I don't remember that. I do remember a lad in Bray called Compo because he used to just walk around the streets looking for potholes to fall into.
That took a second for me to realise what you said. he's just chilling. He's like pothole.
Yeah, that's it. Like he was like he just put potholes and stuff to fall into so he can get compensation. Like that was
I thought you meant he just did it for like he had no motive. Like he was just doing it because he was just into that sort of thing. Like
no. Compensation was his motive. So he was just going out looking for things to get compensation. Or like I don't know if the McDonald's and Braids in a town hall, just like fall down the steps and stuff, you know, like just like a ping pong ball going around
the town. Neither of you play GTA, do you?
No.
Anyone that plays GTA will, like, if you ever see like a character fall in GTA, they're real flimsy, like they're running down a hill, the way they just sort of like flop like a fish down, like I just imagine being a very unnatural fall down the stairs, you know what I mean? Like I'm very much like I'm doing this on purpose.
His body just seizes up and then he's like, ah!
Like this is what falling looks like. Fair enough.
Amazing. There was a drunk in our area that was called 2 Liter Peter. It's a very sad situation. I think he's dead now.
I prefer the pothole one. just now it's have this image in my head of your man just diving all over the place.
Imagine pothole saw 2 Liter Peter on the ground and he's just like opportunity.
I feel like there's so much like potential for that pothole character, you know what I mean? Like there's so much I don't know, so many places to go with that.
This is a real person.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff, though. Thank you for the question, Joe. And our final question, our main event, at Roscom Dan, Rick wakes up as Keen, Keen wakes up as Kate, Katie wakes up as Rick. 24 hours stuck like this, what do you do?
Oh,
this is easy. Man, like, what's not the short end of the stick, what's the long end of the stick? Is that a thing people say? Not really. But
long end of the stick.
But I think I've got the best one here, right? Because even though I don't like Katie, here's the thing, right? If somebody wakes up as me, right? pretty boring fucking life to wake up with, right? It's just me. You know what I mean?
That's what's fun. I just look to ruin
somebody
you.
Somebody wakes up again, it's like, well, all right, Rick, that's not very nice.
not like ruin you, but like ruin you in little ways. Like, I'd make like loads of like friends that you wouldn't be comfortable like with knowing. Like, the crazy owl lads down the bus stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, I live here. You should come around every day for the chats. And then, like, he'd knock on the door and just, like, let himself into your house and, like, sit down and have tea with you. And you'd be too uncomfortable to just be like, please don't. So, like, I'd do stuff like that. Like, again, like, it wouldn't be, like, a creepy old lad. It'd just be an overly friendly old lad who'd just tell you stories. But, like, you just want to play PlayStation. Do you know what I mean? You're like, I don't necessarily want to listen to you. You told me about how you invented Guinness yesterday, like, like, if I could just got, I really want to, the new FIFA game's out, so like, that's what I do.
I was gonna say, like, waking up as me or waking up as Rick is kind of like, I don't know, but like waking up as Katie though. Oh, but you can literally go, social media is the answer here, right? Twitter is the answer here. Calling out Eric Rowan and Alison Kay, making video call outs because you are that person now, so you can control what they say and everything. So you literally make a video being like, like, okay, come on then. Wait, like, just fucking, like, I don't know, some big, like, elaborate call out. You know, you've only got 24 hours, so you have to make the most of it. You know what I mean? Constant call outs. Eric Rowan, Alistair Kay, any dream match I want to have, like, I can't think off the top of my head, but I'd call out everyone that I want to see. And then I'd have, like, I don't know, I'd have Katie, like, use her connections and boy factories, like, make it happen. I don't know. I just think it'd be really, really fun. I think there's a lot of room there, because again, like, as
would you
a
get
wrestler,
her cancelled?
You know what I mean?
Would you get her cancelled?
No, because I don't really care. I think it'd be way more.
Would
fun
you be like, what I think of slaves? A thread.
No. I think I'd get way more enjoyment out of seeing like Katie call out Eric Rowan, and then Eric Rowan's just like, why?
What the fuck? Who is this?
Or get her to call out like really obscure wrestlers, like Katie Harvey calls out Danny Deans, and then like Katie comes back the next day like, I don't really want to feud.
But like, this is why a video call out is very important, because if it was text, you could say like somebody else
hacked, yeah,
on my phone. But if it's a video call out, in that, it's like, you said that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm you. You said that. It sounds like you. It looks like you. That is you. You said that. But so I think it'd be really funny to be like Eric Rowan, Alison Kay, who, yeah, like some mad, like, I don't know, like Connor from The Ascension. I'm coming for you. So yeah, that'd be my answer, definitely. Like, so, like, social media is the way to do it.
Oh, I could make a YouTube video as Keen. What would I do? What would you?
You only have 24 hours, though. Bear in mind.
Would we have their like talents and stuff? Because it would be you and his body.
So it'd be like a really bad promo. It'd be me being like, yeah,
hi,
you bitch.
Hi, Katie Harvey here. I feel like if it was that, we'd know it was Keen already. We'd instantly understand. Yeah. We're like, why is Keen in Katie's body? Amazing. Can we fix this where Katie, you just pretend to be Keen for a day and try to see if people would believe that Keen's taking over, Katie?
Put a load of promos and just cut the Keen style and just see what happens.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, brilliant. I'd make a YouTube video. I don't know what I do. Like, I don't want to ruin your life. Like, I don't want to do anything bad. Actually, but like, I want to mildly inconvenience you and have you do something where, like, fuck's sake, you have to go on into the YouTube channel. I don't know. I have to come back to it. Yeah, but YouTube would be probably where I'd go.
I would probably go to Fight Factory and announce your return to wrestling and set up I'd set up your return match at the next Fight Factory show against like Dom Tuck and the Mid Card Mafia.
I'd actually be up for that. Like, if you, yeah, if you did that, I'd actually be game. Like, what I'd hate is if, like, it's like, if not like that I'd hate it, but like, if you put me in there against Micah May, I'm like, I'm so fucked. I am so out of my league here. You know what I mean? If it's like getting in with Dom and the lads, I'm like, let's have a laugh. I'd probably do that now.
Or if it was the day of a show and I was in your body and I did a run into a match and I started doing like fucking Hurricane Rana and all.
Like, frog splash. The most perfect frog splash you've ever seen. And I come back and I'm like, oh no, I'm really over. I have to do a frog splash again.
Yeah, that's it. That's the game plan. That the next show, everyone's like on edge, like expected, like, fuck it.
I know to do a really awkward promo where it's like the person you saw last month is gone.
And people think you're just cutting like a dark heel promo, like, yeah. I have changed.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, that's actually a solid one. Yeah, I would actually, like, if someone came back and announced me as like unretired from wrestling and then I actually had to do it, I'd actually be so mad. Like, you nailed it, got it in one, super.
Bye.